Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
As the main character of your life, you know how important it is to make the right choices for you and how sweet it is to feel good about your decisions. With a State Farm Personal Price Plan, you have options to help create an affordable price for you so you can continue living your best life. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can choose to bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
There you go. We're cooking with gas.
Welcome to On the Ball with Rick Bucher. Here's your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
This is On the Ball on the United WeCast Network, and I am Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1 and hear me on Fox Sports Radio. You can't read me anywhere at the moment because I'm working on my third book, this one titled Coachable, The Difference Between Good and Great. Stay tuned for when you can pre-order your copy. You can also follow me on X, the former Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky, at Rick Bucher. I'm a lot of places, but there's only one place you can hear me talking about story angles and perspectives that you are not likely to find anywhere else, primarily but not exclusively involving the NBA, and that is here. We've had some matchups build as playoff previews over the last few days, so this seems like an ideal time to do a quad shot and introduce the episode's new sponsor, Wolf Coffee, and break down the strengths and weaknesses that were on display in these recent battles between teams we are certain to see in the postseason and very well could see go head-to-head at some point for an entire playoff series. Spoiler alert, stick around until the end for a discount code if you want to sample a terrific brand of coffee and ancillary products from a family-owned business that produces small-batch 100% organic coffee beans. All right, let's get with it. Quad shot one. Let's start with the Boston Celtics. This might be the most difficult team to diagnose because it's hard to gauge exactly how much they are banking their energy and experimenting to give the regular season purpose, knowing that the most important part of the season is in April, May, and hopefully June, and understanding exactly how much energy and focus it requires to be the last team standing. So they're holding back. It is both a blessing and a curse for teams once they've won a championship. The blessing is they know exactly how well and hard they have to play to get there. They know what it takes, and they can prepare accordingly. They can't kid themselves about just how hard it is, but they also know, having done it, that it's possible, which none of us know about anything, at least not with any certitude, until we actually do that thing. The curse, or downside, is that they know no one regular season performance is going to make or break their chance at reaching the top of the mountain again. The urgency from a night-in, night-out basis simply isn't there. Now, bad habits and sloppiness can creep in if that mindset becomes too prevalent. So it's not any one game, but a series of games like that, getting a little too casual, can certainly have an impact that is felt in the big picture. Usually a championship team has a coach and locker room leaders who won't let that happen, but it can, depending on the makeup of the defending team. All that said, the Celtics are showing that they're not exactly a juggernaut, and that while certain players seem to have improved since last year, there's also reason to wonder if the team as a whole is as good as they were a year ago. Let's start with the uncertain presence of Kristaps Porzingis. I had a conversation with former Celtic Paul Pierce about this on FS1. I was talking about what a huge role Porzingis played in the Celtics winning the title last year, and he pushed back, somewhat surprisingly for me, saying that Porzingis barely played in the finals. Yes, he only played in 3 of the 5 games, the Celtics winning the best of 7 series 4-1. But it's not a coincidence that the Celtics won all 3 games he played in. Psychologically, he gave them an indispensable boost that is just burned into my memory in terms of how that series went. The Mavericks tried to bully him, maybe thinking he was the same Kristaps who had played for the Mavericks 3 years earlier, and they found out they were wrong. He absorbed all the bumping and jostling, actually sneered at one point, and went to work, going 8 for 13 for 20 points and grabbing 6 rebounds and blocking 3 shots in a super efficient 20 minutes in game 1 that clearly shook the Mavericks, who came in with a load of confidence and left game 1 with a 107-89 loss. Here's the concern. Kristaps had a weird, or rather obscure, tendon tear in his left leg that limited him to 3 appearances in the finals, cost him a real offseason, and had him still sidelined for the first 17 games of this season. He played in game 1, had that impact, played in game 2, had a similar impact, then didn't play in the next 2 games in which the Celtics went 1-1, and then played in game 5. The Celtics now have been very cautious with him this season, knowing how important he is to their chance of repeating. He's got to be there for at least 3 games, I'd say, in the finals. But he's now missed 7 games and counting with a viral issue that is almost as mysterious as his tendon problem. And maybe it's a temporary thing. But what Kristaps said about it was kind of ominous. He said they're still trying to figure out exactly what it is, and there is no timetable for his return. Now, all of this may go away if he plays in the next week or so, but there are other points of concern. Jrue Holiday isn't moving the same, and his efficiency across the board is down. And he's at an age where you begin to think maybe the expiration date is just around the corner. As a team, they're not rebounding as well as they did last year. The absence of Kristaps probably is a big factor in that. They're just not as big. Their defense has slipped from 3rd to 6th. Their offense from 1st to 3rd, where they were ranked last year versus where they're ranked right now. And they are shooting more threes than ever before. That's also disconcerting, and it's what made Kristaps so valuable and makes him so valuable. He is a lob threat and finisher at the rim, and they don't really have anyone else of his caliber in that role. And if the threes aren't falling, it seems as if their fallback position is to have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown go ISO. Or at least Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown seem to think that that is their fallback position when the threes aren't falling. And that's a problem, especially since Jaylen Brown remains an erratic performer. The Celtics' recent loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder was a perfect example. Brown had 10 points on 5 of 15 shooting, missing all 5 of his 3-point attempts. A lot has been said about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting a favorable whistle, and Jalen was assigned to him a fair amount in this game, but that's not why he fouled out. Shai only drew 2 of Brown's 6 fouls. Now, he picked up his 5th early in the 4th quarter, and head coach Joe Mazzulla subbed him out and then subbed him back in with 4:14 left in the game. Came in with 5 fouls and the Thunder leading 106-100. Brown quickly cut that lead to 4 with a dunk. And then he went to the other end and he committed a clumsy, regrettable foul on Chet Holmgren at the rim. 38 seconds after checking in, he was headed back to the bench for good. And he even had the audacity to turn to Tyler Ford on the baseline after the foul call and say, "Come on now, that's my 6th foul." As if he didn't clearly run into Holmgren and hit him across the arm as he tried to go up with the ball at the rim. As if Tyler could have possibly looked the other way or given the foul to someone else. There was no debating it was a foul. And it's decisions like that, and then subsequently comments like that, that make me nervous. There's a little detachment from reality in all that. It's not a decision a smart player makes, no matter what time of year it is or what part of the game it is. You got five fouls. What are you doing? There's 4 minutes left, and this game is still very much in the balance. And yes, you were an important part of it. You're kind of our go-to guy. So no matter where it is, but especially not in the fourth quarter against a team that you could very well meet in the finals, add that to the equation of reasons why it was a nonsensical, non-thinking foul. And it's decisions like that that decide playoff games. As good as he was dismantling Luka Doncic and the Lakers a week or so prior, he was that ineffective against the Thunder. And chances are he's going to see Shea rather than Luka in the playoffs. Quad shot two. I agree with Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic when he says he's playing the best basketball of his career, which is why it saddens me that it is probably not going to result in another championship or return to the finals because of the supporting cast around him. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. This is what Stan Kroenke, owner of the Nuggets, along with several other professional sports franchises, this is what he does. He will spend lavishly in order to win a championship, but once he captures one, he dials back and milks the glory and goodwill of that championship. He did it with the Denver Avalanche in the NHL and with the Los Angeles Rams in the NFL. Case in point, the Nuggets were only one of four teams not to make a move at the trade deadline. The other three were Orlando, Minnesota, and Portland. The Nuggets didn't make a move at last year's trade deadline either. They didn't try to re-sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or replace him. KCP, Jeff Green, and Bruce Brown were all key pieces of that 2023 championship team. None were retained, and none were replaced in any significant way. This wouldn't be as much of a problem if some of the younger mainstays were still improving, but that hasn't been the case, which would lead you to think we need to make a move, or we need to make a trade. Jamal Murray is 27 years old, but he's been essentially the same player the last 3 years, just below all-star level. Same goes for Michael Porter Jr., who is 26. Aaron Gordon, 29, is shooting the three well this year, but everything else about his game is status quo. All of them are playing reasonably well. They're just not taking up any slack for the talent that has gone out the door, which has left it to Jokic. And he has improved. His reluctance to shoot threes and inability to make them consistently were a big factor in their failure to repeat as champions. He's now attempting a career-high 4.5 threes a game and making them at a career-high 43% clip. His rebounds are even, his assists are up, his steals are up. His plus-minus, plus 24, is exactly the same as it was in his championship year. Despite his increase in threes, though, the Nuggets remain last in the league in attempts and 28th in makes, which is actually worse than a year ago. Their pace has jumped from bottom five to top five, but it's only producing two more points per game. All right, picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes. It's all there. And you've got eBay guaranteed fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So, when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. That's why a State Farm agent is there to help you choose a coverage option that's right for you. Whether you're getting a new house, car, boat, or RV, helping protect it is important. And State Farm is there to help you choose the coverage you need, whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app. And with so many coverage options, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs, so you can continue to focus on what's most important to you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Quad Shot 3. The conversations on our FS1 shows these days are a long way from the heated debates that were once in vogue. Guys and gals growling and jabbing fingers at each other and pounding the table, but every once in a while, a few sparks still fly. And maybe sparks is too strong of a description for my reaction to one of my TV colleagues, Keyshawn Johnson, suggesting that the reason for Luka Doncic's uptick or the appearance that Luka is playing harder for the Lakers than he did when we last saw him with the Dallas Mavericks is because of the LeBron James effect. This is based on the idea that because LeBron is still playing with energy at 40, anyone who enters his sphere or is around him will automatically adopt his approach or habits. The same has been said of Steph Curry and his influence on teammates. And there have certainly been players who no doubt were inspired by the example set by them. I've heard more of them that played with Steph come outright and say it as opposed to the media saying it on behalf of LeBron. But maybe I'm missing some guys. So, and let's face it, both of them deserve that recognition. They both create a working culture. I have to hesitate because being around both of them, being around their teams, being around all the extra stuff that goes on with LeBron, I don't think it's quite as healthy a culture as the one that Steph Curry creates. Nonetheless, there have certainly been players who were inspired by the example set by both of them. But it's not an automatic or surefire effect. In either case, did Jordan Poole adopt Steph's work habits and attention to detail? Maybe at one point, but not by the time that he left. One look at his scrawny arms or indifferent defense should tell you that he never really quite took. Maybe as a scorer or as a shooter, he adopted that part, but he didn't adopt all of it. Did D'Angelo Russell change his approach to the game being around LeBron? I think not. And we're not talking about a role player. We're talking about Luka Doncic, a guy who has been playing pro since he was 16, a guy who had Jalen Brunson next to him for 4 seasons, one of the hardest working and dedicated players the league has. He had Dirk Nowitzki, one of the hardest working superstars the NBA has ever seen, as a mentor and role model in Dallas. I'm in no way saying that LeBron hasn't inspired Luka. I don't know. I'm just saying there's no basis for jumping to that conclusion, and the whole of it is wildly premature. Look at how Luka reacted to the trade. He was far more shocked that the Mavericks found him dispensable than he was thrilled by the idea of playing with LeBron and the Lakers. So what's the logical conclusion for his motivation? That he wants to show Dallas they made a mistake, or he wants to earn LeBron's respect by adopting his methods? Besides, the impact that LeBron might have on Luka isn't going to be measured in how he plays now or even this season. It's going to be measured by whether or not he changes his habits and begins working on his body and his fitness the way LeBron has. Maybe Luka gets in shape. Maybe he adopts LeBron's approach. I have my doubts. As I said, he's been a pro since 16. He's used to having things his way and no one questioning it. This is his 7th NBA season. He's 26 years old. I love his game and his supreme confidence, but there are as many signs that he has not changed at all since arriving in LA as there are that he's taking a different approach. Because after Luka's first few games for the Lakers, I really haven't seen a marked difference from the Luka I saw in Dallas. He gave up the ball on offense more in the early games and thereby had a little more energy to expend defensively. But in the 2 games since LeBron injured his groin, he has been more ball dominant than ever, and a relative statue on defense. And all that has resulted in incredible offensive numbers for Luka. 45 points against the Milwaukee Bucks, yet two losses to the Nets and the Bucks. What is also disappointing is that he has learned nothing from his meltdown in the finals last year when it comes to the referees. He showed them absolutely no respect in the Milwaukee game, running after a ref and shouting F you after he turned the ball over and didn't get a call. He should have been teed up and wasn't. And yes, it has to be noted that the Lakers are missing more than just LeBron. Jackson Hayes and Rui Hachimura are out as well, which forced J.J. Redick to start Alex Len, who was waived by the Wizards and picked up by the Lakers after they wiggled their way out of their trade with the Charlotte Hornets for Mark Williams by saying he failed his physical because of a back issue. For those who haven't been paying attention, by the way, since that trade was rescinded, Mark Williams has played 9 of 16 games and had 6 double-doubles. He has not scored less than 10 points, he's scored as many as 26, and he's averaged 10 rebounds a game. The missed games would validate the Lakers' concern if it weren't for the fact that Williams is dealing with a left foot injury, and the thing that the Lakers flagged was his back. In any case, it's clear that Len can't help them. This is why when fans say, hey, we just need a big 7-footer, just go get a big 7-footer. No. There's a reason guys don't play, no matter what their size or height or strength or whatever. You have to understand the game. I had some fan on or follower on social media telling me about the game is so much better today because you see 7-footers who can shoot threes and handle the ball. It's like, yeah, that looks good on a Instagram clip or warming up or whatever, but what does that have to do with playing the game within a team concept? You're going to have 5 7-footers out there all dribbling the ball between their legs and shooting threes? It's generally not what a 7-footer is. Very small part, let's put it this way. Very small part of what you're asking a 7-footer to do. He's got to be able to assimilate himself within the game and move without the ball and be a factor. And in the case of Len, it's painfully visible how out of sync he is with what J.J. Redick wants and how frustrated Austin Reeves and Luka were playing with him. But he's a 7-footer. He's athletic. He's long. I don't know if he can shoot threes or not. I'd have to go look at the stats. Certainly hasn't had the opportunity to. In any case, he is not the answer, despite being 7 feet tall. And I imagine it will be sooner rather than later that he's either buried on the bench or cut.
Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. That's why a State Farm agent is there to help you choose a coverage option that's right for you. Whether you're getting a new house, car, boat, or RV, helping protect it is important. And State Farm is there to help you choose the coverage you need, whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app. And with so many coverage options, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs, so you can continue to focus on what's most important to you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Quad Shot 4. The exchange between New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau and one of his 3-and-D wing defenders, Mikal Bridges, over minutes caught my attention, particularly because of what I've learned through the course of working on my latest book on the value of being coachable. One of the common themes with all the successful athletes in the book, male and female athletes from a variety of sports, is the connection that they have with their coach, a mutual understanding of what is going to make them most successful, and an open line of communication. The short answer is that an athlete who feels as if he or she has a voice, and that maximizing a team and individual's potential is a collaborative effort, is going to be a player that gives you their all. There's nothing wrong with Tibbs needing Bridges to play the most minutes of any player in the league, if it's warranted and Tibbs can explain why. And Bridges has proved over the course of his career that he can handle a heavy workload and is an iron man. And there may be a reason that might require a sacrifice by Bridges for the good of the team. But if Bridges is questioning that, then Tibbs has some work to do, because he hasn't explained, not after the fact, beforehand, this is why I need you to play as much as I'm playing you right now. He should be able to explain why it is vital for the team that Bridges do what he is being asked to do. And Tibbs apparently has not done that. Tibbs acted as if there is no collaboration. He denied that he and Bridges even discussed the subject, which is just wild. What is the point of that? Denying that any conversation ever transpired reflects such antiquated thinking. Now, considering my book covers athletes as old as Steve Young and Brandi Chastain, I'd make the case that the my way or the highway approach has never really worked, and it certainly doesn't today. A coach who is fully confident in what he is doing and why he's doing it has no need to be defensive about it. And that's how Tibbs sounded to me when this subject came up about Bridges suggesting that they needed to use more of their bench. Especially with Tibbs denying that the conversation even took place. Now, he backed off at some point. He pointed out that injuries were one of the reasons that Bridges, Josh Hart, and OG Anunoby are all in the top six in minutes played in the league. But it still sounded defensive. It also ignores the value of getting buy-in from the players in what a team is doing. Now, Tibbs defended his approach in part by saying, well, that's just the way the league works. Wing defenders have to play a lot because they have to match up with the best players in the league. The best players in the league most often operating from the wing, being point forwards or whatnot. But when it comes to the reason for anything, everybody is doing it is not a valid reason. Nor does it really explain why the Knicks wings play more than anybody else's wings. Pointing out that Josh Hart never wants to come off the floor isn't a rationale either. Just because a player is willing to do something doesn't mean that he should be doing it, or that it is in his best interest. All of this illustrates how some coaches are very capable of coming into an organization and having an immediate positive impact by simply providing a blueprint and setting a standard. No question that Tom Thibodeau has done that in coming to the Knicks. Some coaches can be too understanding, too flexible, frankly too fearful of confrontation to set a standard or stand up and say, this is the way we're going to do things. But to lead a team to the top requires a combination of both. It requires setting a baseline of principles and adhering to them. And then a certain degree of flexibility is as far as how those principles are applied within the grand scheme. A willingness to observe players and recognize when the blueprint no longer serves the team's best interests. It requires identifying and setting principles, quite honestly, that are reasonable for every player to practice regardless of their talent level. I'm not saying that every player should be treated the same. They shouldn't. But if there is a guy who merits having his voice heard when it comes to playing time and minutes, it is Mikal Bridges. As a guy who has never missed a game in 6+ seasons now and holds the record for most consecutive games played. To ignore him or act as if his opinion does not matter on this subject, quite simply, and I hate to say it, is not the sign of a very good coach. Or, based on what I've learned through the course of writing this book, what is required to lead a team all the way to the top. Before I go, I want to introduce you to a new sponsor, Wolf Coffee. Based in the wine country of Sonoma County, family-owned, shade-grown at high altitude, produced in small batches, 100% organic, it's as good as any coffee I have had. And once upon a time, I would order my beans directly from a farm on Hawaii. That's how obsessed I am with making sure that the coffee I drink is worth it. So put your order in today. Give it a sample. Give it a shot. WolfCoffee.com. WOLFCOFFEE.com. And use On The Ball as your promo code to get 15% off any product on me. You've been hunting for a great cup of coffee. Look no further. The hunt is over. All right, that does it for this episode of On the Ball on the United WeCast Network. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. In the next episode, I have a couple of things brewing right now. We may have a special guest. We may have special guests. And we have to talk about this MVP race that appears to be a two-man race at this point between Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and what I'm hearing about who deserves to win. All that, or one of those things, in the next episode. And I will get to both the guests and the MVP conversation at some point very shortly. I promise that. In the meantime, as always, thanks for listening.
Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. That's why a State Farm agent is there to help you choose a coverage option that's right for you. Whether you're getting a new house, car, boat, or RV, helping protect it is important. And State Farm is there to help you choose the coverage you need, whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app. And with so many coverage options, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs, so you can continue to focus on what's most important to you. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.